سخنران امشب جلسه تهران ای ای که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکلی‌های گمنام در تهران است، آقای ریز با هوشیاری 43 سال از کشور امریکا می باشد. جلسه در اختیار دوستانمون هستش. بفرمایید. آقا علی
جان سلام. Hi Rick, I'm back on the road again.
Okay.
And all right, good to see you and go ahead.
Okay. Good morning or evening, I guess. My name is Rick, I'm an alcoholic.
ایشون میفرمایند که صبح بخیر یا شب بخیر، اسم من ریک هست و من یک الکلی هستم.
And I'm in Glendale, California.
من در شهر گلندل کالیفرنیا هستم. Sorry, go ahead.
Should I wait for you to finish or should I just talk?
Go ahead, we'll get together.
Just talk and you'll do it? Okay.
Go ahead and I'll give you a statement.
Okay. So anyway, I come to you from Glendale, California. I am 40 years sober. I got sober when I was 26 years old. And I am 66 today.
All right. ایشون می فهمن من از شهر گلندل کالیفرنیا با شما صحبت می کنم. امروز الان 40 ساله که هوشیار هستم. 26 ساله بودم که هوشیار شدم و الان 66 سالمه. Yes, sir.
I started out my life with, I have two older brothers. I was just a good kid. I was, you know, had a mom and a dad. I was a good student. I played some sports. I played some music. I was home when I was supposed to be. I had a lot of friends. And somewhere around 13, 14 years old, I kind of got bored with life, I think, and out of curiosity, out of boredom, out of rebellion, out of whatever, you know, was with some friends, and we drank. We drank some alcohol. And,
okay. All right.
I love it.
All right, perfect. And میفهمم من در یک خانواده بودم که دو تا برادر داشتم، پدر و مادرای خوبی داشتم، تحصیلات خوبی داشتم، ورزشکار بودم و اساتید حضورتون دوستان خیلی خوبی داشتم. 13-14 ساله که بودم کنجکاو شدم و یه جورایی که نمیدونم دلیل اصلش چی بود رفتم و مشروب شروع کردم به خوردن و عاشق مشروب شدم. Yes, sir.
So anyway, I think it was more important to me than it was to my friends. It was exciting for me. I said I was 13, 14 years old. I didn't have any problems. There was no work problems, obviously. There was no pressure of any kind. There was no outside situations. I was a good, happy kid, but alcohol, that first drink, just I loved the way it felt. It was like it was life changing, and I distinctively remember my first time of drinking. And they say that most alcoholics remember their first time. If you ask normal drinkers, when was the first time you got drunk or the first time you drank, they probably go, I don't know. It might have been at a party. I don't know. It might have been a birthday. But an alcoholic usually remembers it's life changing. So.
All right. Just a sec. I said, مشروب خیلی زود مهمتر از دوستانم شد. همونطور که گفتم 13-14 ساله بودم، مشکل خاصی نداشتم، زندگی خوب بود، بچه خوبی بودم. منتهاون اولین مشروب خوری زندگی منو عوض کرد و زندگی منو متحول کرد. اولین مشروب خوری خودم رو هیچ وقت یادم نمیره و تا آخر عمر یادم میمونه و خیلی واضح و شفاف تو ذهن من برجسته شده. فرقی که ما الکلی ها داریم با آدم های عادی، یا لااقل ایشون دارن میگه که اون مشروب خوری یا مستی اولی ها هیچ وقت یادش نمیره، در صورتی که آدم های معمولی که بهشون میگه یا خانم اولین باری که مشروب خوری کردی یادت میاد، معمولا میگن نه ما یادمون نمیاد و اون مستی اولیه برای الکلی ها یک تجربه بسیار عجیب غریبیه. Yes, sir.
So the Alcoholics Anonymous book tells us that the drinking is a symptom, that it centers in our mind, and that the root of our problem is selfishness, self-centeredness. And I truly believe that I had all those issues going into my alcoholism. It was like I said, 14 years old or something, I lost the direction book. I lost the instructions for life. I didn't know how to feel. I didn't know how to feel around girls. I didn't know how to feel around bigger guys and the competition among men and young men. And the alcohol just kind of made it better. And I loved, like I said, I loved the way it felt.
All right. میفهمن همونطور که AA الکلی های گمراه میگه مشروب فقط یک نشانه است و مرکز مشکل من توی وسط کله من، وسط فکر من، و مشکل اصلی الکلی ها همونطوری که در کتاب هم میگه یا ریشه اصلی گرفتاری های ما خودخواهی و خودمحوری شدید ما هست و من هم مثل بقیه الکلی ها راهم رو گم کردم، نمیدونستم که چطور زندگی کنم، نمیدونستم که چطور احساس کنم، نمیدونستم که با دخترها چطوری رفتار کنم، نمیدونستم که با دوستانم و آقایون چطور رفتار کنم و روابطم رو تحت تأثیر قرار داده بود. Yes sir, go ahead.
I believe that I was born an alcoholic. I didn't cross an invisible line right from the beginning. I was a blackout drinker. I don't remember what happened. As I said, it was more important to me. I compared myself to my other friends, and you know, they could take it or leave it. And their drinking was on special occasions in the beginning, and then maybe the weekends, and that's how mine started. But by the time I was in high school, leaving high school, I was drinking most school nights. Not maybe getting drunk, but you know, Wednesday night I'd have beer, and Tuesday night I'd have beer, and the crowd changed. I went towards that kind of crowd that drank, and the ones that were smoking cigarettes when we were 15, 16, and drinking and using other little drugs around that were around, and you know, and anything that was important or worthwhile, the sports, the music, schoolwork, it went by the wayside. It wasn't important anymore. And what was important to me was drinking with my friends and just hanging out. So.
All right. من بر این باور هستم که الکلی به دنیا آمده ام. من از همون اول سیاه‌مست می شدم و یادم نمی اومد که چه اتفاقی برای من افتاده. برای من یه خط نامرئی یا یک نقطه نامرئی تو زندگی نبود که بعد از اون بگم من الکلی شدم. از اون اولش داستان من تغییر کرد. بعد از اینکه داشتم وارد دبیرستان شدم و سالهای آخر دبیرستان بودم، با آدمایی که قبلا دوست بودم دوستام عوض شدم. آدمای مشروبخوار، سیگاری و موادی دور برم بودم. دوستانم عوض شدن. دوستان تحصیلم عوض شدن. دیگه تحصیل برای من مهم نبود، دیگه ورزش برای من مهم نبود، دیگه اون چیزهایی که برام قبلا مهم بودن اهمیتشون از دست دادن و من کاملا وارد یک جامعه عجیب غریبی شدم و دوستان عجیب غریبی. Yes sir, go ahead.
So as I started getting into trouble and my life started changing, and I wasn't the good son kid that I was raised to be, I started blaming situations for that. I wanted to blame, you know, the coach that didn't pick me for the team. I wanted to blame the teacher that seemingly didn't give me a fair shake. I wanted to blame my parents for who knows what. And I started looking, thinking that, okay, if I could find the right girlfriend, if I could play the right sport, if I could change my music from drums to guitar, whatever it was, I was always looking for something outside of me to fix the situation, to make me feel better. And quite often that would happen, and I would still have the same feelings inside. And I didn't understand that. I didn't know anything about alcoholism. This was in the late 60s, early 70s. There wasn't any therapy to go to, counseling of that available like it is today. So I struggled with life. I struggled with my decisions. You know, I struggled with what people thought.
Okay, perfect. I said, I make notes of it. All right, perfect. مشکل من مشکل زیاد شد، زندگی من تغییر کرد. من اون پسر خوبی برای پدر مادرم نبودم و اصلا به حضورتون رسالتم رو تو زندگی گم کرده بودم و به خاطر این دیگران رو مقصر میدونستم. کوچ مربیمو به خاطر اینکه من برای تیم مدرسه دعوت نکرده و مقصر میدونستم، معلم هم مقصر میدونستم، والدین هم مقصر میدونستم، اجتماع رو مقصر میدونستم و فکر میکردم اگر دوست دختر خوبی داشته باشم اوضاع عوض میشه، اگر موسیقی ما از طبل به گیتار وصل بکنم اوضاع بهتر میشه. دنبال راه حل در خارج از خودم بودم، ولی این اتفاقات در خارج از من میفتاد. ولی مشکل اصلی من که الکلیسم بود هنوز سر جاش واقعی بود. این داستانه که خدمتون عرض میکنم اواخر دهه 60 و اوائل دهه 70 بود که مثل امروز روانشناسا یا دکترا در مورد الکلیسم چیزی نمیدونستن، ولی من همینطوری چپ و راست و مشکلات عجیب غریبی گیر میکردم. Back to you.
So as I continued to get into trouble and to feel bad and empty and this hole inside of me that couldn't be filled with outside things and the right, I lashed out more. I blamed more. And, you know, it was all about me. And I hurt a lot of people along the way, disappointed a lot of people along the way, trying to use them, trying to, you know, finding young ladies to make it feel better, finding whatever situation, and it never worked. And so I come to find out in Alcoholics Anonymous that I was restless, irritable, and discontent, as the book says, long before I took a drink and long before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I couldn't fill that hole that was in my life for some reason.
Okay. اصلا به حضورتون مشکلات من ادامه داشت و یه چیزی خلأ درونی بود، یه سوراخی در درون من بود که من هیچ وقت نمیتونستم اونو پر بکنم مگر به طور موقت با الکل. و همیشه مقصرین دیگران بودن. مسئله این بود که همه چیز در مورد من بود، همش در مورد خود من بود، خودخواهی و خودمهوری من بود. من دیگران رو ناامید میکردم، روابط عجیب غریبی داشتم و اونها رو اذیت میکردم، خانمها رو خیلی اذیت میکردم و در عیه متوجه شدم که این بیقراری و بیقراری و ناراحتی و عصبانیتی که من دارم قسمتی از اون بیماری الکولیسم که منو سالیان سال اذیت کرده بود. Okay.
Thank you. So of course other people that I knew, friends were growing up. They were buying homes or they were going to university or they were settling down and having families and getting a job and being responsible. And I wanted that, but I couldn't do it. So I started looking in me, and I kept thinking, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And I didn't realize, like I said, that I was an alcoholic. I finally got sent to Alcoholics Anonymous through the court system for DUI.
DUI.
They send me to court.
Yes.
And then said you have to go to AA meeting every week. So I would go, and I was probably 25 years old, And most of the people there were old enough to be my parent or grandparent, and I shook my head and I thought, I don't belong here. You know, what's the point? These old people don't have anything to live for like I do, and you know, I wanted a party still. And the truth was that my life was sad. There wasn't any partying anymore. There wasn't any friends. I was always the guy who took it too far.
Always. All right. Just a second, please. البته دوستان هم داشتن فارغ التحصیل از دانشگاه یونیورسیتی می شدن یا می رفتن صاحب خانواده می شدن، فامیلی درست می کردن برای خودشون یا مشاغل خیلی خوبی داشتن، اونایی که مدت ها پیش با ایشون بودن و اونها به زندگی عادی وارد شده بودن، ولی من هنوز داشتم عرق می خوردم. مسئله این بود که یواش یواش دیگه مشروب خوری جواب نمی داد و من از خودم می پرسیدم تو چته؟ چرا اینطوری اوضاع؟ و بالاخره بعد از یه سری رانندگی در حال مستی که بهش میگن DUI و دادگاه اونجا منو مجبور کرد که برم به AA، یا اینکه بفرستم زندان یا اینکه برم به AA. و من برای اولین بار 25 سالم بود تقریبا که رفتم به جلسات AA و آدمایی که اونجا بودن آدمایی بودن که تیپ من نبودن و من احساس تفاوت میکردم و یه مشت پیرمرد پیرزن بودم و خوشم نمیومد که با اونا چیکار بکنم، رفیق بشم. و خلاصه داستان از اینجا شروع شد. اوکی؟ Thank you.
So I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I thought I was too young. I thought that I could, you know, if I tried hard enough, I could control and enjoy my drinking, I guess, is really what it is. After I started going to AA, I tried to control it. I thought, okay, I just won't drink so much. And a few times I could put it down and stop, but more often than not, you know, they say if one's good, two's better. And yeah, I remember speaking to a friend, and after about 6 or 7 beers, I like to drink beer, and I felt good, and I was on the phone, and I said, you know, this is it. If I could just stop at 6 or 7, yeah, everything would be great. I won't get in trouble. I won't make a fool of myself. I won't hurt anyone. I won't disappoint anyone. And you know, I can get up in the morning and go to work and no hangover. Yeah, I hang up the phone and drink, you know, 6 or 7's good, then 8's going to be better. And the next thing you know, it's all over again, and I'm hungover, and I can't make it to work, and I've made phone calls that I shouldn't have made, and I've accused people of doing things that they did or maybe didn't do, and it wasn't good. It was very, very lonely. I was 25 years old, and there was friends that kind of all left because I was always the guy who took it too far. I was the one who broke something. I was the one who...
All right. Good practice with the shorthand. با اون چیزایی که یادم میاد بالا نوشتم خدمتتون بگم. و وقتی که من 25 سالم بود بردنم به AA، فکر میکردم من الکلی بودم. فکر میکردم من خیلی جوان هستم و فکر میکردم، تصور میکردم، توهم داشتم که اگر سعی بکنم درست مشروب بخورم اوضاع بهتر میشه. فکر میکردم، تصور میکردم میتونم کنترل بکنم و احساس خوبی هم داشته باشم و فکر میکردم که اگر 6-7 آبجو بخورم کار من درست میشه، کسی به اذیت نمیکنه، میتونم پای تلفن اشغال بکنم با مردم، زندگی خوب میشه. و اینا همش تصورات و تفکرات من بود. میدونی 6-7 آبجو خوب بود، ولی 8 بهتر بود. و بعدش داستان این بود که ادامه پیدا میکرد و من سیامست میشدم و کارهای عجیب غریب میکردم. و وقتی که سیامست میشدم تلفن میزدم به دیگران، فوشیشون میکردم، عدتشون میکردم، کارهایی میکردم که نباید میکردم. و یواش یواش یه جوری شد که دیگران از دست من فراری بودن و من خیلی وقتا ناراحت می‌شدم و ناراحت بودم از اوضاعی که به وجود اومده بود. Yes sir.
So a lot of unacceptable, inappropriate, inexcusable behavior. I got three more DUIs. I ended up with four altogether. They took my driver's license. They put me in jail. And I had to go to more AA meetings. And at this time, too, I met a young lady and we had a little girl. And I thought maybe that would do it. Some responsibility and, you know, have to raise a family now and be responsible and be a dad. And I won't have to drink. You know, I won't drink. I didn't know I had to drink. I just thought I won't drink because I'll have this other thing to do. That didn't work out. Again, it was unacceptable, inappropriate, often violent, nasty behavior on my part.
Okay. بنابراین من بسیاری از کارهای بد، عجیب غریب و ناراحت کننده انجام میدادم در حالت مستی و یواش یواش حتی در حالت عادی. داستان این بود که سه بار دیگه در حال مستی و من و در حال رانندگی که مست بودم من گرفتن، یعنی با اون دفعه قبلی میشد چهار بار. گواهینامه هم گرفتن، زندانیم کردن. این شوخی نداره. اون موقع البته اون موقع آسان‌تر از امروز بوده. امروز بیچاره میکنن با سه تا دیوانگی، میگم رانندگی در حال مستی. ولی یواش یواش فکر کردم از خانواده درست بکنم، خوب میشه، بچه دار شدم. بعد در تمام مدت هم من میرسادم به ایه از طرف دادگاه و از طرف پلیس و اینجور چیزا و من فکر میکردم فقط اگر نخورم و هوشیار بشم کارم درسته، فقط دوری از اولین مشروب کارم درسته. ولی کن نشد، من نتونستم از مشروب دوری کنم و وحشی شده بودم. کارهای خیلی از عصیانگری میکردم، خیلی ناراحت و عصبانی و دلخور بودم و نمیدونستم چه کار بکنم.
So after one Saturday, I had been going to AA meetings but not really listening. One ugly Saturday, I called AA and they sent two men to my house. These gentlemen got sober in the 1940s, had 30, almost 70 years of sobriety between the two of them, and this was in 1980. And they came, and of course I told them all about my problems, and poor me, and, you know, no one understands. And they sat there, listened to me, full of grace and a spirit about them that I'd never seen in gentlemen, and they weren't egotistical or arrogant. They were just there, and I spilled my life story to them, and we went to an AA meeting in that Saturday night, and it was a speaker meeting, and the
speaker meeting.
No secret meetings. Just sometimes now, COVID. Speaker meeting, and the speaker told my story. The gentleman stood in front, big room of people, and told my story. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing, a miracle. And I went home that night, and I'm laying there in bed, and I'm thinking, a miracle. And then it occurred to me what happened, because I had told these two gentlemen everything about my life. I thought that one of them went and found a man and said, look, this young man told us this, 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 and this, and this. If you get up there and say that stuff, we'll get us one. We'll have a new member, you know. So I lay there in bed and I thought, how could they do that? You know, they just phony that they just... I told them my story, so they found someone to tell me the same story, so I would say, oh, yeah, that's me, you know, and I was very skeptical.
All right, perfect. میتا یه روزی بالاخره یک شنبه اومد، این شنبه بود که من به AA تلفن کردم و تقاضای کمک کردم. دو نفر اومدن به خونه من که اونها در دهه 40 آمریکا، در دهه 1940 هوشیار شده بودن. این دو نفر جمع هوشیاریشون اون موقع حدود 70 سال بود. اومدن من داستان خودم رو با اونها در میون گذاشتن و خیلی مهربان بودن، خیلی پذیرا بودن و خیلی خوب داستان من رو گوش کردن و یک جورایی با من همراهی و همدردی کردن و من رو بردن به یک میتینگ و یک جلسه دیگه. یه جلسه بود که سخنران داشت. اون سخنران خیلی جالب بود، داستان زندگی من رو تعریف کرد و من اصلا مونده بودم که این قضیه از چه قراره و به خودم گفتم خدایا این یک معجزه‌ایه که من باورم نمیشه و تکون خوردم. شب که رفتم خونه و توی رستوران رخت خوابیده بودم با خودم فکر میکردم که امروز چه اتفاقی افتاد، امروز داستان از چه قرار بود، چطور اینها تونستن همدردی خودشون رو با من ابراز بکنن، اینا از کجا داستان من میدونستن و یک معجزه درونی برای من اتفاق افتاد. Yes sir.
So I finally was able to trust people, and I believe that I got sober. I every time my head said to drink, I drank. They say no mental defense, no human power, and that human power includes me. I could not stop drinking. And one morning, September 7th, 1980, I woke up and this obsession was gone. And there was a peace, there was a quietness about me, and I can say only today that there was divine intervention, that God had to remove this obsession. I didn't get sober. I was granted or given sobriety. I believe it's a gift. I couldn't stop, but God stopped it.
Perfect. نهایتاً من اعتماد کردم به اون دو نفر و شروع کردم به اعتماد کردن. هوشیار شدم. متوجه شدم که قدرت فکری من و قدرت فیزیکی من و اراده من در مقابل الکلیس هیچ چیزی ندارم. من هیچ قدرتی ندارم در مقابل این بیماری الکلیس. و نهایتاً 7 سپتامبر 1980 یک صلح خاصی در درون من افتاد و من وسوسه خوردن مشروب از درونم بیرون رفت. من اینا اسمش می‌ذارم معجزه. این خدمتون عارض هستم که من هوشیار نشدم و این یک هدیه از طرف خداوند بود و این درگیری و اون وسوسه رو از وجود من درآورد و من پا به عرصه جدید زندگی گذاشتم. Yes sir.
And let me know when there's about 5 minutes, okay?
All right, you got another 20 minutes. All right, so
okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So I started going to meetings and I thought for me that my problem was is I only drank too much. I didn't realize that my life was unmanageable. I didn't realize that there was deeper underlying problems. I just thought, oh no, I partied too much, I drank too much, and I had no problem admitting that I was an alcoholic when I read the book, when I listened to the stories, that I couldn't drink. But I didn't believe that my life was unmanageable. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know how to change that. And the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous led me to start living a better life. I got a sponsor, and we studied the book. We went over the steps, and I believed that God got me sober, and I believed that with God in my life, I could be a better person, that I could live a life that wasn't like I used to live, and I wouldn't feel that way anymore. And slowly, with a slow gravity sometimes, but little by little things changed. And I think the biggest...
Okay. بخاطر همین من شروع کردم به جلسات رفتن و فکر میکردم، تصور میکردم مشکل اصلی من مشروب خوریم بود. نمیدونستم که مشکل اصلی من چیز دیگه یه و باورم نمیکردم که زندگیم غیر قابل اداره شده. میفهمیدم که من قدرتی در مقابل الکل نداشتم. اون قدم یک رو داره توضیح میده، ولی قسمت دو قدم یک که زندگی من غیر قابل اداره شده بود را اصلا متوجه نمی‌شدم و AA به من یواش یواش این چیزا رو نشون داد. من یک راهنما گرفتم، کتاب را با او و دقیقاً و عمیقاً هم خوندیم هم مطالعه کردیم و یواش یواش متوجه شدم که این خدا بوده که تو زندگی من وارد شده و هرچه بیشتر این خدا رو وارد زندگیم کردم، به مرور یواش یواش این حضور ایشون برای من پررنگتر شد و زندگی من شروع به تغییر کرد. Yes, sir.
So, I think the biggest thing is that I wasn't alone, and I found rooms full of people that felt like I did, that had the same problem and that had a solution. Alcoholics Anonymous is a 12-step program, meaning you have to take the 12 steps. And I took the 12 steps, as I said, and I've taken them. In fact, I'm 40 years sober, and I am on step two today. I'm taking step three. I'm taking them over again. A different sponsor. I've outlived three sponsors. But I truly believe this would not work without God, because something had to replace my ego, my arrogance, my selfishness, my self-centeredness. Something had to replace me. I was the bad part, and God is the good part. And we're talking about step 10. You want to go?
Yes. Sorry, my kid just walking. It's all right, I'll get over it. بنابراین بزرگترین چیز اینه که من تو AA آدم‌های زیادی پیدا کردم که توی این اتاق‌هایی که جلسات هست همدرد من بودن و راه حل رو پیدا کرده بودن. راه حل 12 قدمه و ما برای که حالمون بهتر، حالمون خوب بشه یا بهتر بشه، باید همه 12 قدم رو کار کنیم و به کار ببندیم و اونا رو توی زندگیمون تمرین کنیم. امروزه بعد از اینکه من 40 سال هوشیار هستم، دارم قدم دو و سه رو هنوز کار میکنم، همینطور قدم‌های دیگر رو. من تا امروز 3 تا راهنما داشتم و هنوز دارم چیزهای جدیدی یاد میگیرم. این منیت، غرور و ایگوی من باید جانشین پیدا میکرد با فروتنی و خدا رو میبردم تو زندگیم و به جای خودخواهی و خودمهوری، خدامهوری رو میذاشتم و اون آگاهیه که در یواش یواش به مرور به تدریج با کار کردن این قدم ها من پیدا میکنم. Yes, sir.
So step 10 is continue to take personal inventory when we're wrong, probably admitted it. I think for alcoholic, you know, I've been around a long time and I know hundreds and heard stories, and they can't shut off the head. They wake up and blah, 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 blah. If 99% of our life is good, 1% bad, we dwell on that 1% bad. Blah, blah, blah. And I've learned to think differently. I've learned to trust God. And I think for an alcoholic, that the self-centeredness, the all about me, constantly thinking about us, makes it very, very important to do 10th step. I think the most important step to me was 3, that I turned my will and my life over to God. But step 10 is right there, because I can't treat people the way I used to. My head still says, oh, say that, oh, do that, even after all this time, to make me feel better so people can understand my point of view, so people can, because of my ego and my arrogance.
Okay.
Step 10.
Just a sec, please. حالا قدم ده میگه ما به گرفتن ترازنامه شخصی خود ادامه دادیم و هرگاه در اشتباه بودیم سریعا آن را پذیرفتیم. برای AA ها، برای الکلی ها که من صدها داستان شنیدم و ضمناً برای خودم اوضاع به این صورته که وقتی بیدار میشم من اینجوری هستم که اوضاع خیلی خراب میدم. اگر 99% اوضاع درست باشه من گیر میدم با اون 1% و میگم اوضاع خراب. البته تشبیه ها و داستان اینه که به خاطر مصفایی و خودمهوری من همیشه در فکر خود، اکثر اوقات در فکر خودم هستم که چه اتفاقی برای من افتاد، چه اتفاقی برای من میفته. همش من. قدم ده اینه که روی این قضیه بیشتر من تمرکز بکنم و برای من یکی از چیزایی که تمرین باید بکنم و هنوز دارم انجام میدم در حقیقت سپردن قدم سه هست که من افکارم و اعمالم رو تحت مراقبت خاص خداوند در بیارم و از خودم بیام بیرون و اون منیت، ایگو و غرور متورمم رو یواش یواش کمرنگتر بکنم و از تورمش بکنم. Yes, sir.
So step 10 keeps me clean, keeps my side of the street clean, keeps me from blaming you, keeps me humble. If I have to do step 10 too often, then maybe I have to go back and look at my other steps, 6 and 7. Why am I still acting this way? You know, maybe in my 4th step, 5th step, I missed something. Why am I still being like this? If I'm always having to apologize, we can't use AA and step as oh, I'm sober, so I just say I'm sorry. I just make amends and everything's okay. It doesn't work that way. You know, making amends is, feels good. It's important. It's important for me to clean my side of the street, to be with God and say I was wrong. But like I said, I can't use it as an excuse. And if I'm doing it too often, I have to go back and find out what I missed and why I'm still acting like this. So it's an ongoing process for Alcoholics Anonymous. It's never done. I'm more powerless today. My life is more unmanageable today after 40 years than when I walked in, because I know it. I didn't know this in the beginning, and even 5 years I thought, now I'm sober, I can manage better. You know, I'll just manage better. It's hard to give your life to something you can't see. There's no proof. I mean, the Pope doesn't know there's God. I never saw him. I've seen miracles. And we're skeptical. And we're all about ourselves. And we're all suspicious. We don't trust people. We don't trust situations. So how can I do this? But it can be done. Today I have a wonderful life. I have a wife. We've been together 37 years. And I have 4 children. And my oldest daughter is 41 years old, and she had 3 years sober on January 2nd.
If you don't mind, it's a lot to cover.
Sir.
All right, thank you so much. It's my, I'm enjoying your speech. That's why I get carried away.
Thank you.
قدم ده به من نشون میده که ضمن این که من این قسمت نصفه خیابون خودم رو تمیز کنم توی جاده بهبودی به من فروتنی یاد میده و وقتی که اتفاقات بدی میفته برگردم به قدم های 6 و 7 ببینم من چرا اینجوری دارم رفتار میکنم و اون یا برگردم به قدم چهار و پنجم به متوجه بشم که چرا اینطوری دارم احساس میکنم و چه نقصی توی زندگی من الان داره اذیتم میکنه. این که فقط من هی معذرت میخوام از این و از اون هی بگم من معذرت میخوام و راه، ولی اون حرکات و رفتار رو قبلی رو انجام بدم در دراز مدت جواب نمیده و بهبودی توجیه و بهانه نخواهد داشت و از زیرش در رفتن و نمیدونم معذرت خواهی کردن و همون کارا رو ادامه دادن جواب نمیده. این در دراز مدت دارم میفرمانم نه اوائلش. من امروز خدمتون عارضم که متوجه شدم که از اون روز اول بی قدرت‌تر هستم. من امروز خدمتون عارضم که هنوز نمیتونم زندگیمو اداره بکنم. من هنوز نمیتونم زندگیمو اداره کنم. قرار زندگیمو بسپارم به دست خدا که اون اداره بکنه. این قدم سه هست و فقط این که هی همش بگم خودم و خودم و فقط خودم و خودم که هنوز هم میگم و یه جورایی تمرین کردن این قدم ها کمتر اینو میگم، ولی هر روز که بیدار میشم باید این قدم ها رو از دوباره انجام بدم و یواش یواش به قدم ها به خداوند اطمینان میکنم و ایشون هم زندگی منو پر از برکت کرده. 37 ساله که با همسرم ازدواج کردم. You have four kids. من 4 تا بچه دارم و خدا رو شکر میکنم بابت این هدایا و برکاتی که خداوند به من تو زندگی اعطا کرده. Yes sir, go ahead.
So Alcoholics Anonymous step 10 has taught me to look at my part. You know, I want to still blame and things are not good right now in our country and the world. And I want to, after being home for all these months, I want to blame and, but where's my part? I have to look at my part. Why am I not accepting this? You know, is there anything I can do about it? And do I have the courage and do I have God behind me to make these changes if I need to? And but it's the biggest gift for me in Alcoholics Anonymous is God, and God to me is acceptance, that it's okay. I don't have to change it. I don't have to make it my way. I can conform. I can make it easier and better for those around me. If I'm not fighting and balking, you know, so I want to fight everything. I want to make you see my way, and it's. I like to get my way. It makes life easier, but it's not like that. And so I appreciate being asked to do this. I am humbled. I am honored. Like I said, my the biggest gift of my sobriety is my daughter.
All right.
So, give it a chance. You know, find a sponsor. Be of service. Talk to other alcoholics. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. It's a disease. There's another disease. You know, the people are going crazy with the COVID, and and the people that I know that aren't in the program sober, they don't want to conform. They don't want to wear. They want to fight and box. But the people in AA, we've been dealing with disease. I've been dealing with a disease one day at a time for 40 years. I could deal with another disease for a few years. It's okay. It's okay. And this is the way it is. So again, I am humbled and honored to be asked. I hope someone heard something that could help you. God bless you. God bless Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you.
I loved it. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. Okay. حالا قدم AA، قدم ده، داستانی که به خودم نگاه کنم. ببینم نقش من چیه، ببینم داستان من چیه. من هنوز با این اتفاقایی که مثلا توی یک سال اخیر افتاده میخوام دیگران رو مقصر بدونم، دنیا رو مقصر بدونم، خدا رو مقصر بدونم. چرا؟ و داستان اینه که برگردم به خودم ببینم چرا نمیتونم یک چیزایی رو بپذیرم، چرا من شهامت ندارم که قبول کنم دنیا اینطوریه و من نیستم، و من آدمی نیستم که بتونم دنیا رو عوض کنم. خدا رو به کمک بگیرم، قبول کنم که دنیا همینی که هست، اتفاقات میفته، یاد بگیرم که اتفاقات رو بپذیرم، دست از کارگردانی بردارم، با فروتنی و تواضع از شما به خاطر اینکه منو دعوت کردید تشکر میکنم. و اگر تازه وارد هستید حتما یک راهنما پیدا کنید، حتما باش قدم ها رو با کتاب ای کار بکنید، خدمت کنید، نترسید و ادامه بدید. اصلا الان این کووید کرونا اومده و خیلی از آدم های عادی یا حتی بعضی از بچه ها هستن که نمیخوان ماسک بزنن، نمیخوان با جامعه هماهنگ بشن. ما آدم های هستیم که 30 سال 40 سال با این بیماری الکلیست دست و پنجه نرم کردیم، حالا یه بیماری دیگه هم 2 سال دیگه روش، بعد از 1-2 سال انشاءالله اینم برطرف میشه. مسئله ای که من میخوام بپذیرم یا میخوام باش بجنگم. اگه بخواد بجنگیم و با دنیا و آدماش یه جور دیگه رفتار کنیم میتونیم، ولی میشه تسلیم بود و مسائل رو پذیرفت. یک بار دیگه تشکر کردم از اینکه ما دعوتشون کردیم اینجا. It was beautiful. So much. Thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hasta la vista.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All
right. Bye-bye, huh? All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
بله مرسی، تشکر میکنم از شما، از آقای ریک هم همینطور، از طرف ما ممنونم که تشکر کردید. و اگه با اجازه شما من این